line is muted. Only the host can unmute your line. Raise your hand using star 2 so the host knows when you want to speak.
We're told. And so I'm going to just read a couple of these before Rick joins us here, hopefully in the next 7 minutes. And I hope that they will be a blessing. This is called Man in Contrast to Christ. Man in Contrast to Christ. Christ emptied himself and became a servant to us. Man exalts himself and is full of pride, and over this life makes such a fuss. Christ freely laid down his life and bled and died. Christ fed the hungry and healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. Man relies on his retirement and his 401k, his friend at work, and his holidays. Christ had no place to lay his head and had no earthly kingdom in mind. Christ said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man thinks he can save himself through his own choice and is in bondage to sin in an awful plight. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, listen to his voice. Christ came to save his people from their sins. Man is concerned with only having a good time and betting on who the Super Bowl wins. Christ says, all that the Father hath given me are mine. Christ is seated in heaven on his royal throne. Man is working to make himself a name and making himself a fortune and building a new home. Christ is preparing a mansion for his people. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I'm ready to go home. Okay, now, let's see if Rick is on with us yet. Let's see, guess 3. Okay. And if Rick is unable to join us, if he gets called out, I will probably just go ahead and talk about this aspect of forgiveness tonight because it's a great subject to talk about. But we'll wait till the top of the hour to make sure that Rick is unable to join us. I'm hoping that he can. This one is entitled Wonderful Grace. Wonderful grace. What awesome, wonderful, magnificent grace God has bestowed upon us. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. To choose us before the creation of the world, before our life would even begin. To be adopted into his family from the beginning to the very end. How can our tongues describe this marvelous thing he did for you and me? To send his son to die and redeem us for eternity? By shedding his precious blood on the cruel and rugged tree and paid the greatest ransom possible to set our souls free. Amazing grace, amazing love, so merciful to you and me, who deserve to die in eternal death and experience awful suffering in hell, but God gave us his son. And now we sing thanks to Calvary with our souls, it is well. A million years from now, we will still be praising him for delivering us from death and the bondage of sin. All glory be to the Lamb who bled and died for you and me. Our praises will ring out for all eternity. What an honor it is to be adopted into God's family and to be a part of his elect family. Well, let's see what we've got going here. Welcome some more people to come on board. I appreciate everyone that's joined us. Never ceases to amaze me how many people throughout the world that I hear from on a daily basis that love God's word and have been recipients of his grace. God is doing a mighty work in Pakistan, in Uganda, in Kenya, in India, in Bangladesh. You know, as many of you know, I'm on Sermon Audio. You can go to sermonaudio.com/housechurch, and we get monthly reports from all the different countries, not only all the states in the United States, but all the different countries that have downloaded our messages. And it's a very humbling experience every month to get that. we were our messages were downloaded in 44 different countries. And it has nothing, again, it has nothing to do with Larry Phillips. I'm a piece of dirt, okay? Isaiah says, I'm less than a grasshopper, okay? That's what Larry is. He's less than a grasshopper. You take one of those zoom cameras and go up about 8 miles, and you zoom in on Larry Phillips and then zoom out, and then you'll see how God sees Larry Phillips and all of us, right? But God is the one who adds to his church. We can't add or subtract to from his church. But he's faithful if we are faithful. And you know what? He's faithful even when we're not faithful. Because guess what? The faith that he's given us is the faith of Christ. It's not our faith. We have nothing in and of ourselves to boast of. We have the faith of Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, is he not? Now, it looks like we've got some people that have joined us. Okay, Rick, I've just unmuted you. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you could be with us tonight. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay, Rick?
Unmuted.
Okay, Rick, can you hear me now? Okay.
Okay, Larry.
Hello, and Mark, are you with us now?
Yes, Larry, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I want to welcome Rick Buterick and Mark Kennedy. And guys, just, since you just popped on, I want to introduce you to a few of our guests that have joined us on Facebook. We have James and Pearly, and Rahel and Lloyd and Carrie, and Scott, Philo, and Brock Morgan, and Orlando. So we've got a number of guests that joined us, and I've already introduced you, Rick. Rick has finally agreed to kind of depart from work tonight and talk about forgiveness, biblical forgiveness. So with that, Rick, I'm just going to turn the mic over to you, and you just take it wherever you want to go, brother. Okay. And Kevin has also joined us tonight. Kevin, welcome aboard. We're glad you could join us as well.
All right. So I thought we'd start off with Matthew 18.
Okay, Richard, you're not coming through. You may want to make an excuse. We're getting some background noise, and I don't know where you're at. You may want to try to come a little closer to the mic.
How about here?
That's much better.
Okay, let's see here. Just getting my activities for daily living all situated here.
I hear you.
It must be, a good one. Double choice, fight your tooth and toenail. But praise God. Okay. So, all right. So we're going to start off with Matthew 18, verse 21.
Okay.
And that starts with then Peter. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7." Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 25. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of all that debt because thou desired me. Verse 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. 35. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. So any thoughts on those verses?
Well, I think it's very, very good what you're bringing out here. We all have issues ourselves, and it's always easy, and I'm speaking to myself, it's always easy to look at everybody else. The old saying is there's one finger pointed out, and there's four fingers pointed back at us, okay?
Right.
And that's what this is saying here, is that we have one instance where a guy is seeking forgiveness, but he's unforgiving. And yet now the Lord that forgave him now gets word of it. And now this person has to be judged because of his unforgiveness. And I believe that God will chasten us for an unforgiving spirit. I really believe that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, Mark, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I believe this is called the parable of the unmerciful servant. And it's interesting how the first servant was extended mercy and his debt was
okay. Mark, sorry. What happened is I tried to unmute Kevin, and Kevin has a lot of background noise, so I'm going to have to mute his mic. I tried to unmute him, but I don't know where he's at. I don't know where he's at, but he must be somewhere. So I had to mute his mic. So, Kevin, that's why your mic is muted, is because there's so much background noise where you're at. So go ahead, Mark. I apologize.
Yes, I was saying how this is called the parable of the unmerciful servant. And this one servant that was owing a lot of money, it seems like, according to the text, this one servant who owed a lot of money, and he pleaded for mercy and was granted, and mercy was granted to him. And then he went out and found this other fellow servant who owed him a lot less money and took the hard line with him and would not show mercy on him. And to me, this is a picture of society. You know, people owe money on mortgages or bills or whatever, and so they go out and get that job and they won't help other people in need. And if they do loan out money to people, they expect to be promptly repaid. And if they don't, if it goes into the hundreds, they might take them to small claims court and all of that mess. So to me, it's a picture of society, the way society operates.
Yeah, and you know what? It's also a picture of the human heart. It's all of us, none of us are without sin. And
right.
You all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we must constantly remind ourselves that none of us has reached perfection, okay? And
right,
so
right.
Whenever we start putting everybody on that level that they need to be at perfection,
right.
I recently had someone tell me they no longer wanted to have a relationship with me because they didn't like some things I said. And
right,
I was just thinking, you know, well, I'm sorry. I apologize to the person, but I was thinking, you know, he said a lot of things I didn't like, you know, but that I wasn't going to throw him out with the bus just because we had some disagreements on some things. So anyway, that's the way the world goes. Let's go back to Rick. Go ahead, Rick. And I'm sorry, Kevin, that we're unable to get your comments tonight, but we're getting so much background noise that it's breaking our whole broadcast up. So go ahead, Rick.
Okay, so first of all, my thoughts was that whenever Jesus was, people that would come to him, okay, was to be either redeemed, healed, or delivered from evil spirits, it would say that he was moved with compassion. So our obviously our model is Jesus Christ. He's teaching his disciples, you know, that whenever you somebody comes to you and ask their forgiveness or ask your forgiveness, we are to promptly say, "I forgive you because the Lord, it says right here, of those fellow servants, he forgave that first servant.
Right, right, right.
So we're to walk, as it says in 1 John, I think it's 2:6, to walk in his steps. And so that's what I get out of it as far as compassion towards others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to welcome aboard Soraya Rice. We'll get it, Soraya, and also Emmanuel Rogers. And also we've got some really good comments on here, people that are agreeing that this is a subject. A lot of people don't want to talk about forgiveness because that means that they're accountable. And they don't want to be held accountable. In other words, we don't hear a lot of messages on repentance and forgiveness anymore. We hear a lot about love, okay? But usually it's love me, okay? Go ahead, Rick, continue.
Okay, so this next portion here is going to be an excerpt out of a book called Conquering the Host of Hell by Win Worley. From pages 34 to 36, and it starts off with, let's see here. Forgiveness is hard to give because it hurts to extend it to those who are un- deserving, and hard-hearted. It implies acceptance rather than legalistic demands of compensation for injury done. This makes for a costly operation. To release a wrongdoer instead of exacting a just penalty requires that we reach out in love. Now, there's your love message right there, Larry.
Right.
Okay, so to do this, we must reject the temptation to hold bitterness and resentment. All of this is contrary to our nature or natural inclinations. Thus, the old adage, to err is human, to forgive is divine. We must have the Lord's enabling to in order to forgive others for hurts and disappointments. Forgiveness is not forgetting the wrong done. And there's the forgetting part there, Larry.
Yeah.
but some hurts are so deep that this would be impossible. We can forget the anger and the hurt we felt, but the act we felt is branded into our minds. That's like, I don't know if you took it class, you know, in the brain, you know, when you were in college and stuff, on the neural pathways of the brain and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be another area, just like a broken limb, to ask God to heal those neural pathways of any types of wrongdoing. But anyway, so here we go. It does no good to pretend that the offense never took place. That fact must be accepted, not overlooked or disparaged as being unimportant. Ignoring and denial are forms of withdrawal and deceit and lead to hidden resentful anger. Forgiveness takes place when the victim accepts the loss and or injury done him and deliberately cancels the debt owed him by the offending person. Justice insists compensation be required from the inflictor of the injury, but forgiveness absorbs and accepts the wrong and frees the guilty party. Anger must be dealt with openly and honestly, not denied or disregarded. Either it must be vented in retaliation, or the injured party must accept his own anger, bear the burden of it, confess it in prayer. This will release him and set the other party free. Revenge always hurts the retaliator far more than the one whom it is leveled. It's just like, okay, Larry's cleaning his gun. It accidentally goes off. It shoots and shoots me in the leg. I forgive him, but I still need to go down to the ER and get that bullet pulled out. Now, the other side of it is, if I don't forgive him, it's just like I'm holding a glass of poison. I drink it and think it's going to affect Larry.
Yeah, and Rick, how did you really know it was an accident?
That's right. Okay. It's like, can't we all just get along, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to pay the cost of another's wrong without asking for redress or vengeance. In other words, our pattern must be the gracious and substitutionary death of Christ.
Amen.
He willingly received all the hurt and evil of the entire human race. Now, it says human race there, and so we might strike that from the court. but because he only did that for his elect. It's not for the human race.
Yeah, so, and that includes both Jew and Gentile. I think that's what it's referring to there.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, every tongue, every people, and every nation, yeah.
But gotcha.
All men, that exception, that's what you're saying, yeah.
Right. Okay, so in his body on the tree to pay the debt for our guilt. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps.
Amen.
Who did not sin, rather, or neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:21-24. He now offers what he was wrought as a free gift to undeserving and guilty persons, so we can be free. Romans 6:23, John 10:28-30. Far from minimizing or overlooking sin, God demonstrates at Calvary the awful depth of sin, which, or when he paid the debt in full in order to forgive us, he dropped all charges against us on the ground that Jesus' blood had satisfied the law's demand: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. As nothing else, forgiveness takes us into the mysteries of the grace, or into the mysteries of grace, where God forgives unconditionally on the basis of the substitutionary payment of another. Mark 11:25-26.
Amen.
By his enabling grace, he desires us to go and do likewise. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit's work in the life is the quality of meekness. It is a quality that is nurtured and abetted by practicing forgiveness. Meekness is actually gentleness in the sense that a wild horse is gentled. This will harness all energy, spirit, and strength of the animal and channel it in constructive avenues. This highly prized quality will cause us to be able to accept God's dealing with us as being good without resisting or disputing. It will surface in our dealings with other people who mistreat, insult, or otherwise abuse us, giving patience, endurance without retaliation. Meekness will also make us able to bear one another's burdens cheerfully, as Jesus, and for Jesus' sake, enabling us to enter into the mysteries, into the mystery of Christ's sufferings. Because unforgiveness and the resentment and bitterness it generates is so deadly, it is not optional but necessary that it can be dealt with. Cancer and arthritis spirits definitely root into the fertile ground. To be bitter and unforgiving costs us far more than it's worth.
Amen.
So that's the end of that.
Well, before I do, Mark, do you have any comments?
Yes, that reading identified some good things when we hold a grudge against others. It's not hurting them, it's hurting our innards, our spirits. And they've done medical studies on people who can't forgive, and they have all kinds of health problems because of it. And so that's a very good point in the reading that Rick did, how unforgiveness doesn't hurt the one that did the thing that's not forgiven. It hurts the one that's holding the unforgiveness.
Amen. Amen. Very well stated. Well, you know, I was thinking about, I got an email from Brother John from Ontario, and he was pretty much relaying some of the same things. I was thanking him for how much help he'd given me on editing or preparing a file for me on a 352-page book. And I was thanking him for all of his help. And mm-hmm. and he was saying, you know, I said, you're so kind. And he emailed me back and he said, that's a mirror of what God does in our hearts. Well, I had to be honest. And I said, you know, I said, Brother John, oftentimes I sense my own depravity and my own flesh and my own worthlessness. But John reminded me that, you know, we have been translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son, and we are to think on those things that are above, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on these things. That's part of our election. And I think sometimes I know myself, I get so much comfort in recognizing whose I am, okay, in Christ, but sometimes I forget, what that really means as it relates to being conformed to the image of his Son. And I'm glad you chose this topic tonight, Rick, because it's very timely. Mark, any other thoughts before we move on?
No, that's it, basically.
Okay. Okay, Rick, why don't you you go on to your next section there?
Okay, so the next section would be obviously and then when Jesus said about when Herod was asking about him, Jesus said, "You go tell that fox that I cast out devils and I do cures." Okay, so the cure right now, that I'm just going to lead all the panel and the listening audience into is a prayer of forgiveness. So if that's okay with you, Larry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So if you like, we can just go ahead and repeat after me. Lord, I have a confession to make. I have not loved, but have held unforgiveness, bitterness, and sometimes resentment towards certain people who have hurt and disappointed me. And I now call upon you now, Lord, to help me to forgive the following people, both living and dead. And so at this time, the Holy Spirit should be popping up names like popcorn. And it's always good to say it verbally, because the devil will say, well, you know, you didn't say it. You just thought it in your mind and you really didn't mean it. To where when we verbalize it, it gives teeth to it, and it puts the devil on notice that you no longer have any ground in that area of my mind, will, and emotion, my soul, where that unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness reside.
Yeah, I have a comment on that too, and that is that we know that all of God's children have received forgiveness for their past, their present, and their future sins. But that being said, we have legal rights. Okay, we have legal rights because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. But we're told in John that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. So part of our election, part of our predestination, part of our redemption is the gift of repentance. God's the one that gives us the gift of repentance to come to a place where we come boldly to the throne of grace, whereby we might find grace to help in time of need. And
exactly,
I think that's
man.
what That's what Rick is saying. We're coming boldly to the throne of grace and petitioning. And like Rick was saying, God doesn't need our prayers. Okay?
Right.
We need God's continual spirit. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Okay?
Right.
And so I think that's really what you're conveying, Rick. Go ahead.
Yeah, because like it says in a parable about forgiving the debt, and also in the model prayer, Jesus said to forgive those who trespass against us.
Right.
So that's the scriptural teaching on when we are hurt, and it's going to happen. It's inevitable, and like it mentioned about what it does form in our garden of our soul is it produces when we forgive. It's like a garden hoe. We're getting the weeds out, and we're cultivating the soil of our soul, and it's producing meekness.
Yeah, that's good.
And so after those names have already been, because I'm saying this because this is being recorded and everybody can go back over it and then pray the same prayer and stuff, and so like I forgive Johnny, I forgive Susie, you know, as the Holy Spirit is bringing those names up, and as he is, you know, we just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I just forgive Johnny or Susie, and if they are living, I ask you to bless them, and
right.
I do now forgive and accept myself, because a lot of those times we go, like Jacob, I mean, he could have said in the wrestling match, you know, with the angel, you know, I really did do that. I really did con my brother out of his birthright. It was already Jacob's, but it's still the offense still happened because Esau wanted to kill him.
Right. Well, I have a comment on that. I think too, in our society, you know, just for clarification for everybody, Rick is not talking about, because our society is really muddled, okay, in that we're not saying, okay, forgiveness and love constitutes compromising with false doctrine, okay?
Because there's a lot
of confusion out there within certain church denominations that say that you're unloving and you're unforgiving if you take a stand, for an example, against homosexuality, or you take a stand against any of the things that God's word comes against, for an example. If I get up and I say, I do not uphold Zionism, I do not believe it's scriptural. I believe that it is unbiblical. And people that teach that physical Israel are God's chosen people are not being truthful. And then if someone comes to me and says, you're unloving and you're anti-Semitic and you hate the Jews, okay, that's just not a factual statement. First of all, I'm commanded to love my enemies, even if the Jewish Zionists are my enemies, which they are, because they're enemies against Christ. They're enemies against Christ. But even if they are my enemies, I am still commanded to love them.
Yeah.
I'm still commanded to love them. So I wanted to make sure that we make that distinction between what is constituted as tolerance in our society as being unloving, and standing for the truth, because standing for the truth is the greatest love, is it not?
Yes, it is.
I'm off my rant now. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Chris, in John it says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good points. Very good points. Well, Mark, do you have any thoughts?
No, that's very good. We should commit it to the Holy Spirit, and He will help us to remember things or people that we will need to make reconciliation and clear the air so we can move forward in spiritual life.
Well, I agree. And, you know, it's like Rick was saying, it's an ongoing, continual, daily thing. I heard a minister make a statement one time, and I agree with him. He said, "I hold my accounts real short." Okay, what he meant by that is that whenever the Holy Spirit brings to him something that he needs to do, whether it's go to a brother and ask him to forgive, whatever that is, he doesn't
crash.
He acts on that immediately, and I think that is great advice. In other words, because that, when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work in our life, it gives us freedom and it gives us resiliency in the things of God.
Yes.
Yeah, because it says in 2 Corinthians, it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty."
Yes, yes.
And it liberates us, because like somebody said, that if you want to start a revival, and I don't know if this is true or not, but he said, if you want to start a revival, you draw a circle, and you step inside the circle, and then you say, "Lord, start with everything that's inside that circle." So that's personal accountability, and that's basically what you said yesterday, Larry, as far as the Lord's Supper, about examining ourselves. First of all, to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And then,
yeah.
And then just like the high priest in the tabernacle went before the Lord and went through all those washings, and that's 1 John 1:9, that's our Christian's bar of soap. You know, we confess our sins, you know, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah. Listen, I would like to try, now, Kevin, if you're listening, I'm going to try to bring you back in again. Now, I want you guys to listen to see if we still get all the background noise. I'm going to try to unmute Kevin's mic and see if he has any comments, and let's see what kind of background noise we get. Here goes.
Okay. And it's so obvious. You can see it.
Kevin?
And like on their pages, they have pictures.
Okay, Kevin must be broadcasting somewhere else. He did not hear me. So I don't want to intrude with what he's doing there. Yeah, Rick, why don't you continue on?
Well, basically, that's pretty much it, you know, short and sweet in a nutshell. What I have at the table here this afternoon.
Well, I appreciate your coming on and sharing that with us. It was a great blessing to me. It's something that is something that's needed by all of God's people, to realize that we are in a spiritual battle, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And we are to put on the whole armor of God, you know, and that includes how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, I anything I say, I'm speaking first to me, okay, because I realize that I fail miserably. And, you know, I'm amazed that God would even show grace to this floundering heart as mine. And that's part of amazing grace. So if He's going to show grace to me, then shouldn't I be willing to show grace to others? That's what Rick has said tonight. That's really what his message is. And I want to thank all the guests that have joined us. And there's a representative here a lot of the remnant body of Christ who have the same challenges as every one of us have the same challenges that we come up against in our lives. And I want to also let everyone know that Brother Edward Henry's usually on Monday night, and Rick graciously came on instead of Edward Henry. Edward Henry had to be out of town. Also, Wednesday night, Brother Mark Kennedy is going to finish this series. Mark, why don't you just tell a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. We're going to finish with the third part of looking at the scriptures of the Old Testament record that show that tithing was for the Levites, the priests of the temple, because they had no inheritance. And so God, in his gracious providence, granted the Levites the tithes of the farmland produce of Israel. And so we're going to finish looking at the Old Testament record that shows that the tithes was for the Levitical priesthood, and it was grain and oil and wine and the firstlings of herds and flocks, and it had nothing to do with today. And how they tell you it's all finished, yet they hold on to this one little piece of the old covenant so that they can extract money from their congregation under false pretenses. It's a sham. It's a fraud. Don't fall for it.
There you go. Well, listen, I want to say that I've enjoyed that teaching, and a number of other people have enjoyed it, because we don't hear that taught in today's churches. You know, what we are being taught today is, you know, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And it's just not biblical. A lot of the mega churches and the big denominations are using it as controlling the people who are attending their churches. And I've heard some horror stories about that. And I'll tell you, the thing that we need to remember is God looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Okay?
That's right. Before we
kind of conclude today, I want to read a couple things out of this. This is the Poems for Edification, Volume 4. And I just want to read a couple selections. They're pretty short because it kind of ties into what Brother Rick was talking about. This first one is called When Hope and Faith is Given. Hope, like faith and repentance, is a gift from God, and when it's given, belief gives its nod. They are joined together, sent from heaven above. Do you remember the first time that you had hope that Christ died for you? This faith and belief and hope was a gift. So true. We could never have faith, belief, or hope when we were dead in sin. This is the greatest evidence that we have been born again. By the Holy Spirit of God who gave us these things, including repentance, causing our heart to flee to Christ with the joy he brings. Having the assurance that Christ died for our sins is the greatest joy that could ever be. Knowing that we are a part of the elect family, bought by his blood, adopted by him before we were even born, chosen to be ransomed from our sins. This is the greatest miracle, that Christ died for me, adopting me into his family and dying on the rugged tree. This is my eternal song that I will forever sing. Thanks be to Calvary, I'm forever free, and eternal life he did bring. Now, the last one I want to read, it may jar you a little bit. Maybe that's what it was meant to do. This is called, I am a sinner saved by grace. Let it never be misunderstood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I am a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserve the wrath of God, and it was placed on Christ instead. When I think how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel, rugged tree and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like me, what a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did show. when I deserve to be cast in hell, to there forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity for Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. So that should be our message. That should be our thoughts when we think about this aspect of forgiveness. So I want to thank everyone that's joined us tonight. We look forward to Wednesday night with Mark, Sunday morning. Mark and I will be on with the morning worship service, and then Sunday night, Mark and I will be on as well. And then hopefully next Monday night, Brother Edward Henry will be back with us. Thank you all so much for joining us, each one of you. And Rick, thank you. And we look forward to having you on from time to time as God plays your heart. We appreciate it, brother.
Well, thanks for the invitation, and thanks for listening.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very beneficial. Okay. Okay, well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight to Brother Rick and Brother Mark and Brother Kevin. Kevin, again, I apologize that your background was not, we weren't able to hear with you on there tonight. Good night, Mark, Kevin, and Rick.
And God bless our audience.